the Jameson Castmates and Tonics Social Serve Series on Off the Ball. Always remember to drink responsibly.
I'm always interested to know if you guys ever get together. You know, like, we hear all these great stories about the Dubs and the Kerry footballers in the 70s all going off and playing golf and having holidays and being friends. That hasn't happened to your two teams just yet, has it?
No, because I suppose it's still very new. Like, we're still all playing club hurling at the moment. It's probably something that maybe might be looked into in 10, 20 years' time, but the only times we used to get together was probably All-Star nights and All-Star.
Yeah, yeah. And would you get on or would there be rows?
We actually had good old crack now at the All-Stars, and people kind of miss that, to kind of say, like, there must be great rivalry between yourselves and Kilkenny and that. But I think it's really the supporters. When we went to the All-Star trips, we had some crack. We had some nights out, we had some late nights out.
Yeah.
And there are things now you would miss.
Did you have All-Star trips in the middle of the heat of the rivalry? Because, like, every year from 09 to 14, I think, you played every year in the Championship?
We went to Argentina in 2010. Is that right?
Yeah, it was around that time. And
so you just won?
No, it was the beginning of January 2010.
Okay, right.
And we were after losing
right.
to 2009 All-Ireland. And there was a pub in the town. The only pub in the town was called De Kilkenny.
Wasn't it?
So that's where we used to go.
We gave 5 days in De Kilkenny.
Well, it's funny with the hurling, like, because it's probably so many counties can win it. It's not like the Gaelic football.
Yeah.
They tend to be closer. And they all kind of had the same probably characteristics. As they trained hard, played hard, but enjoyed a few pints. Yeah. So when we did go away, like, there wasn't really anyone going to the gym or anyone really...
Except the Cork lads. Like, come on.
I suppose they were a bit different as regards professionalism and that. But I think the Kenny Tipperary lads... And, you know, most of the other counties were the same.
Yeah.
When we went away, it was a holiday. The way we looked at it, we trained hard enough from January to September. When we're away, let's be away. And, you know, we had great times. And we also had railway cup trips to Boston. We were away in San Francisco on another All-Star tour. And kind of the way it kind of ends up is you go away, do your few things during the day. The single lads would probably come together no matter what county you are.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone else comes together at night. And, you know, after two or three pints, then you're everyone's best friends, like.
Yeah. But that is true. Like, the crack was good. Exactly what Tommy is saying there. As regards any individual things that happened, I can't think of anything. But the crack was good, and lads did get on, and lads kind of were coming from the same mentality, the same mindset.
Yeah.
And Goethe was really one that stuck out. For us, he was kind of nearly about ourselves and wanted the trips more so than yourselves. And he was good. He was good and witty. And I think there's a bit especially with the hurlers. Anyways, there's a bit of wit between the teams. There's a bit of crack, like, you know.
Did that wit extend to stuff happening on the field of play? Did you talk to each other mid games when you got to know each other a bit better?
No, I think that all changed then. To be fair, it didn't. Like, you know, the one thing that probably used to annoy me about the Kilkenny fellas is that they were so nice on the All-Star trips, and you'd have your pint, what you having? Oh yeah, I'll have another one. Yeah, no, it's my round, I'll get it. No. And then when you went out in the field then, like, you know, the thing was so, I'd rather if maybe he was a bit of a bollocks off the field, like I say then, I never liked Tommy. But you had to like him all because they were so gentlemen off the field, but then they really done their business on the field. So there was a change, which, George, a good quality to have.
Yes.
See, we were used to it, though, because even in club hurling, like when we went out to club hurling, the way we were trained was, you know, you tear the heads off each other, you do whatever you have to do to win. But the minute it was over, there was no bitterness.
Yeah.
We just never took it. I don't know why it was, but you see, we were probably all in school together. Like, most lads went to Kieran's. So we were used to just, you know, going at it in training, going at it in club matches, and then just it's all gone. If you're good enough, you won. If you weren't, you lost. But at least, you know, you gave it everything.
Looking back, they drove you to greater heights. The All-Irelands that you won against them are some of the greatest games that have ever been played. And I don't know if you guys feel that, like, that you needed a rival even at that stage, or that you benefited from having a rival like that.
Well, you see, our biggest rival was the lad that was sitting on the bench, because we were winning, you wanted to be part of it. You didn't want to be sitting on the bench or gone off the panel when watching these lads winning All-Irelands, because you knew they had a great chance. And, like, see, we were all so lucky that when we came in, most lads of that era won an All-Ireland their first two or three years. So you had that confidence for life. But as Lara was saying there about our management, like Brian was there all along, right? I mean, he came into Kilkenny then, won an All-Ireland in his second year, and then it started rolling. But he always made you feel like you were the best hurler on the team. I felt it. Brian Hogan felt it. JJ felt it. Richie Power felt it. Like, everyone felt that they were the best. That's the way Cody led you to believe, because he just had this just absolute confidence, and you know, there was nothing going to waver the way he thought that you were the best. He didn't think that you're going to win, yeah, that you had the given right to win, but he thought you were the best if you were tuned in. And like, I think that was a massive confidence builder for our team, because like, when we went back every January or that, he wasn't talking about winning All-Irelands. Like, he was talking about getting back on the team and winning the next match or whatever like that.
Yeah.
So I think it was definitely psychological that way, regards a boost. If we had to be changing managers every 2 years, suddenly, I wonder, does this lad have time for me? I wonder, is this, you know, every manager has different thoughts. Like, some lad like a physical guy, some lads would like the pure, beautiful hurler, some guys would like maybe, you know, age or, you know, youth or maybe experience. You just don't know what different managers think. But Cody thought one way, that you were the best. So we never had them doubts going around in our heads.
Did Eamon O'Shea make you feel that way?
Yeah, but just what Tammy's saying, that's some starting point to have going in January, and just says your fifth year, so you know that you have last 4 years experience going in. Look how far you're ahead of a team you're trying to take on that has a new manager. We're still trying to, the manager is still trying to find his feet. The players are trying to think, what is he thinking? As Tommy's saying, has he time for you, has he not? That's going to take 6 months to find out. And then in 6 months' time, you still mightn't be at the same mindset as what the manager is. So, like, they were, like, so psychologically, like, when Liam Sheedy came in, like, they had to start from such a low base because everyone was broken. So, for instance, everyone's mindset, everyone's just confidence, everything was rock bottom. So that's where they start picking up the pieces, putting nearly the players back together again. And yeah, your question, that's what Eamon O'Shea had done. Eamon O'Shea did come around, and exactly what Hammy said, he made you feel that you were the best hurler. He made you feel that way. You actually taught it. And it actually doesn't make a difference if you are or if you're not. If someone has belief in you, you'll reach heights that you maybe didn't think you can come yourself. And I thought one of the best statements that I ever heard was Eamon O'Shea's one. He says, when you're all out the back at 10 years of age and you're kicking the soccer ball, we all thought some part that we were Maradona because we saw him on the television. He said, it's only grown-ups that told you that you weren't. You never said it yourself you weren't. So he made you feel like you're at your back at 10 years of age, you're Maradona out the back playing the soccer.
Well, let's talk about your Maradona moment then. The difference between the 2010 team and the 2009 team, why is that different? Why are you suddenly able to win an All-Ireland against this Kilkenny team, whereas the previous year you weren't?
But it was fair close in 2009. So I Kilkenny got the two goals at the right time. People say that the Tip should have won that. No. Kilkenny got the goals when they counted. The first one was the penalty, you know? And then Gorta then got the...
Well, Larkin set him up. Yeah, sure. Larkin sets up both club and county nearly every goal that has ever scored.
That's what it came down to. It came down to those two. Would it be a fair point? It came down...
Yeah, well, I have a different view on all that as regards. I think people in sport and in this country, they're absolutely obsessed with psychological. Which I think is important, yes, the mindset and all that, but sometimes you're dealing with geniuses and people that have been practicing. You talk about these 10,000 hours and talent and skill and all this kind of a thing. Lads that have been practicing since they were 4 years of age. Like, the difference that day, penalty is one thing, but they had four goal chances that would have been scored, we'll say eight times, say they would have been scored most of the time. But PJ Ryan pulled off four of the greatest saves that was ever seen in All-Ireland final. Got man of the match. Like, when do goalkeepers really get man of the match?
So after a game like that, like, which is one of the great games. Yeah.
And PJ Ryan would have always been known in Kilkenny as a brilliant, brilliant shot stopper. So when you look at it, like, was it psychological, or was it a guy that had trained for years and years? I don't know what age PJ Ryan was there, 28, 29, and pulls off saves. Not that he never pulled them off before. He'd been pulling them off since he was a young chap.
Yeah.
See, he was always a brilliant goalie. So I think sometimes you can get caught up in, you're wondering, like, what was the difference between Tipperary in 09 and 010? Maybe it was the difference of PJ Ryan.
What's your recollection of the goals? How much of that do you remember personally? Because it was the first hat-trick in an All-Ireland final in 40 years.
I watch it every day. Yes, just let you know what I mean. I enjoy watching it every day. Like, it's just the three goals, just things happen. You don't, when you're playing matches, you actually don't realise what you're really doing. Someone tells you, like, after a game, and you might look back at it and you might say, but it's the reaction that you got from the supporters after, and still it's people would mention it to you, even still. And I suppose there was a big thing made about it because Kilkenny were going for 5 in a row. Tip then no better team to try and stop them after all the rivalry and after all the talk that went with it, and getting the 3 goals, and people kind of put it down to that, and it's great to be part of it. That's what it is.
Yeah. Do you watch it every day?
Every second, yeah, sorry.
So, what happens to you guys then in 2011? Because you're obviously thinking, all right, hang on a second, we were supposed to do 5 in a row. That was our chance to do 5 in a row. It's never going to happen again. And you come back the next year, and it's a slightly different approach, because the previous 2 seasons, Tipperary had been very creative, and although you'd won in 2009 to do the 4 in a row, they had definitely caused you a lot of problems.
Yeah, and it was mostly down to their movement. Like, we had zonal defence that time, where you just stayed in your position, you won your own, because we had previously tried to follow lads, and I think it was 0-4, and you know, it didn't work out so well. So we were zonal, and Tipperary had found a way around it through Eamon O'Shea and all the movement that he was teaching the guys. So every ball that was breaking, they were running left, running right. So there was a huge risk that if it did bounce, it only has to bounce once the right way, and suddenly to have a goal.
And just say on that point, that's a very interesting point, because Eamon O'Shea came to me 2 or 3 weeks before the All-Ireland final, and he says, if yourself and Noel McGrath play this right between, and that's the 2010 All-Ireland, yeah, now, between full forward and centre forward, he says, I don't care which one, where you start, you can start full or centre, that's up to yourself, sort out with Noel. But he says, I want you moving between centre and full all day, right, in, out. And he says, if you work it right, and he says, you've 3 weeks to think about it, and he'll give you things to think about, and you'll come back with your answer a few days later, and he might come back to you and he'll give you another piece of, and he says, if you work it right, you should mark no one for the 70 minutes.
Right.
You shouldn't be on anybody. So myself and kind of Noel kind of discussed that, and we had a chat about it, and then Noel might have a question, and we might go back to him, and then a few days later, and he said, that's grand, perfect. He knew you were always going to come back with something, and it was great to be able to go to someone like that with a problem in your mind about movement, and for him to simplify it for you. So he simplified it for us. And when you look at that game, Noel was inside, I was out, and our movement was that. And what Tommy is saying, the boys stayed in their positions that day, but it did change.
Yeah, no, because they're after causing so much problems 0-9, then 0-10, they obviously beat us, but it was just the movement. See, anyone tell you, half back line going back towards their own goal, that's not where you want to be. You want to be out, winning out, breaking the, meeting the breaks and winning them. So we just felt we had no answer on the day. Like, talk about luck, but it was trained into him, like it was coming, that movement. Suddenly we weren't able for that movement anymore. I wouldn't say that even, it was too high risk. Yeah, it might have worked out for us, but also there was a great chance that, because the boys were so easy on the ball,
yeah,
so you weren't dealing with guys that were just there to break ball or guys to win ball. These are guys that they were at their best when they were on the ball.
Yeah.
As in, they'd make the ball talk, and himself, Owen, Noel McGrath, like, loved just playing around with it and could do anything with it. So that's why we had to, I suppose, go around and change things. But
how did you change it? What happened in 2011? What was the decision?
So 2011 was man to man. So yeah, like, and it wasn't just Larry, you know, there was other lads. I can't remember now. There was 3 or 4 of them were specifically guys put on him, and that, I suppose, the management team felt they'd suit you best. And you took them on that way, and it just took out the movement.
Why are you laughing?
I have to go to the toilet. Are you going to stay here, or are you going with me?
No, that's the way it was. That's the way it was. That was probably said to the dressing room before. If he does go to the toilet, go after him.
But that was it. So that cut out then, we'll just say, any movement. So any game plan that you have as a forward, cut it all out, because that means no matter where you went, your man has come with you. So now you have to try and think, where does your man maybe not want to go? So does he want to go, if you go inside full forward, so is he going to come with you? How far out the field is he going to come? If I bring him out as far as a 65, I bring him out to midfield. So, like, I would say that the information that you were given was follow your man everywhere, but if he went out as far as midfield, follow him as far as the half hour line. Would that be right? Or would you going to, how far are you going to come out?
I think we're going to follow you everywhere. So even if you didn't go back to the toilet or whatever, we're going after you. But the rest of them were probably midfield. Yeah, you probably let them out as far as midfield. And because you see, it was grand letting, say, you out as far as the back line, but then you'd come back and we mightn't see you coming back.
See, and so, that was the thing there, yeah. Was trying, where can you bring your man where he was told not to go? So sometimes you have to find out.
In 2012 then, when you're back, it's an All-Ireland semi-final this time instead of a final. This is the famous occasion where you end up marking each other. More you marking him, I suppose, because you're marking Pat Burke. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, I gave the last 10 months before that wondering about, I'd be a big thinker of the of it outside of the game. So, for instance, Eamon O'Shea, when I had him in my corner, that we could bounce ideas off each other. So I gave the last 10 months thinking about, right, so our movement worked in 2010. So that worked now, that's grand. Now, our system didn't work in 2011 because they went man-mark. Now, don't try and anyone tell me that if we go out with the same thing in 2012 and Jackie Terrell comes over and he do a man-marking job again as regards taking a player out of the game, if a ball comes down or just say if they're trying to contest the ball, it's the same result. Don't anyone try and tell me that. So someone had to say something, someone had to come up with something. The players, the management had to come up and say, what are we going to do different? It wasn't possible to go out and do the same thing.
So we're talking 2012, you were explaining the idea came, but Dar O'Shea has this famous saying that he is in every column he writes, hammer the hammer. Is that what you were trying to do?
Well, that's what we went for in 2010, is what we went for. Like Tommy's name would have been mentioned. JJ's name would have been mentioned, like, you know, take on their leaders. John, that's what we done. We took on their leaders. But 2012 was a total different story. Like, for instance, personally, I knew I was going to be man-marked in 2012 because it happened in 2011 and we had no answers. So we just couldn't let the same thing happen again. So I wasn't going to let any Kilkenny man come over and say, right, I'm going marking you for the day. So why should I make it that easy for him? If he's going to come on, just say it to me, he's going to have to earn it. And he's going to have to think about why he's doing it. And we're going to give him something to think about back in the heat of battle. And that's what we've done. And that's the famous scenario, myself and Pat Burke. But like myself and Pat Burke went in at half time and we were happy. Tipperary were a pint up. I think Pat had 1-1 got from play. Another 1 or 2 points from freeze. But Tipperary, everyone in our dressing was happy.
So what happened?
Kilkenny came out and bit the shite out of us in the second half. So there's one thing, Anya, that when I'm explaining myself is that Kilkenny bet us that day by 18 points. And I'm not going as an individual take a rap for Kilkenny coming out, doing a 19 pint turnaround after being a pint up. Like, you know.
How many points are you responsible for? What are you willing to take responsibility for?
Well, I'm responsible.
Three or four.
I'm going to take responsibility for Pat Burke 1-1 at half time. The first half, anyway. So I will. And what we'll do is we'll divide out the rest of them.
You were in a fight with JJ. You got sent off. I look back on that. You didn't throw a punch.
No.
What happened? JJ was throwing punches, throwing digs.
Yeah.
In front of the linesman and the umpires. Yeah, so he was clearly getting sent
and the goalie
off.
Came in then with another dig. Yeah, there's a two-man tackle.
Paul Murphy.
Yeah. What year? 2000? What year was it?
That was the league final, wasn't it? 2000 and...
looked like 13 or
14.
I'd say
13.
Yeah. And I can't remember what happened. I don't know, did a ball come in or anyway, except when JJ rolling around the ground and another fierce nice fella meet him off the field and then tear the head off the field. It's like, so. So yeah, that was a good old crack, yeah. I ended up with two broken ribs out of it.
All right.
Yeah, so I did, yeah.
No grudges born anyway.
Yeah, no, there's not. No, as I said, they were great days and like, you know, Kilkenny were the great team and they needed teams to come up to their level to drive it on, to make what it, just say what it was like, yeah.
Good stuff. Lara, Tommy, thanks very much, lads.
Thanks.
The Jameson Castmates and Tonics Social Serve Series on Off the Ball. Always remember to drink responsibly.